If an economic downturn is coming, you'll want to know how to best secure your investments to weather the storm. Our guests will be providing some very general advice. Individual circumstances may vary, so do make sure you get your own financial advice before making any big decisions. Paul Benson is the principal at Guidance Financial Services, and Dr. Xiaolu Hu is a senior lecturer in finance at the School of Economics, Finance and Marketing at RMIT. Welcome to Life Matters, everyone.
Thank you, Nat.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. So, Paul, the stock market is on a downward trend. It's looking a bit volatile. Are these circumstances we're in right now similar to what we've seen in the past?
Yes, I mean, you're right. Share markets are down. And in fact, it's not just share markets. Bond markets are down even more. And of course, there's some reports of property coming off too. So yeah, it's pretty broad brush. And I think, the comparison you had in the introduction, perhaps with the GFC back in 2008-09, I think, you know, it's not that sharp at this point, but there's some comparisons to be made for sure.
What comparisons would you make there, Paul? Should we expect something so intense? Or, you know, what can we expect in the coming weeks?
I think the key thing, not so much in the coming weeks perhaps, but the GFC was, I guess there was periods of excess leading up to that, not so much in Australia, but certainly globally. And the GFC was a period to sort of wash that out. And to some extent, it's the same here. You know, we had a whole lot of stimulus through COVID, quite rightly. We had enough issues to deal with health that we didn't want to have to worry about finances as well. So there was a lot of stimulus done to get us through. And now there just needs to be a period of unwinding. But what we saw off the back of the GFC is a period of over a decade of then excellent returns for investors. And I suspect that it'll be the same here. You know, it's an unpleasant period right now, but it's just something that we've got to work through, and it'll set us up for a good period in the future.
A good lesson, I suppose, to have taken from earlier downturns. Xiaolu, I want to come to you. What's your take on the state of the markets right now?
I suspect some individual investors, especially individual investors, are affected by the uncertainty feeling about the future of macroeconomics. In finance theory, we call it ambiguity bias, which means people going to be more hesitant or sometimes even more overconfident during the time when they cannot see clearly about the future. So I actually would like to remind especially individual investors to mind about potential overtrading or overconfidence, or even expose themselves to more like familiar biases.
In what ways could we be overconfident, Xiaolu? Isn't low stock prices, isn't it a good time to buy? You know, like what can happen there?
Yeah. This is a very interesting question because behavioral finance tell us overconfidence is not only about purchasing stock, it's also about overselling your stocks. So a study recently by a German researchers find that the German individual investors frequently log into their brokerage account and trade more often than the normal times when they face uncertainty or even more uncertainty. And they find that they tend to sell off instead of build up their portfolios. That means they're overselling their assets and move their assets out of the risky assets towards to more less risky assets and towards the assets they're more familiar with. For example, if you live in Melbourne, you're more familiar or are more certain about Melbourne economics, and you would like to invest in more about Melbourne companies, which will lead to a lack of diversification of your portfolio.
I'm with Dr. Xiaolu Hu, a senior lecturer in finance at the School of Economics, Finance and Marketing at RMIT University, as well as Paul Benson, principal at Guidance Financial Services. Xiaolu, just understanding what's happening in terms of the wider network domino effect of the global market. Mm. What role are these international events like the value of the US dollar, the situation in the UK with these tax cuts, the energy crisis? What is this all having on financial markets and the mood of investors here in Australia?
Yeah, I think the mood is quite in terms of downward, and people are feeling panic regarding there are too many information, too much information, or too complex information flew in the air. For example, people will worry about the depreciation of Australian dollar because the Federal increased their interest rate. And recently, people are more worried about the, you know, maybe Lehman Brothers episode going to happen again on the Credit Suisse Bank or Deutsche Bank in Europe. So people have this worry. But from the other point, the governors or the central banks, they are reevaluating and readjusted their policy, or say they are trying to learn lessons from the previous episode. So hopefully they can do the right thing. For example, people suggest that the Federal could reduce the speed of increasing their interest rate. And they suspect that the RBA going to do the same thing in the next following months. Hopefully that we will go through it. So for I think for individual investors, it's very important to land their view on the long-term investment goals, or say to stick to their investment objectives initially, and to discipline to their well-thought-out plan initially, instead of looking too much and check your account on a daily basis. This is not a good habit.
Yeah, Paul, do you agree with that? If that you're seeing your portfolio decreasing in value as the market turns downwards, should you just take a breath, wait, hold?
Yes, I think Zalu's point is excellent. I mean, it's important to remember, if you do log in and check your balance, all that's telling you is, if I sold today, here's what I would receive. Now, if you're not selling today, and almost nobody is, I mean, if you're still accumulating your super, you probably can't access it anyhow. And if you're retired, why would you be selling? And non-super investments, again, hopefully there's good long-term investment objectives. So yeah, logging in, checking your balance, it's just telling you, if I sold today, here's what I'd get, which is perhaps interesting, but not really very important in the whole scheme of things. It's about remembering why you're invested and what those long-term objectives are.
So, Paul, would you suggest logging in and looking less? Like, how do investors that you speak with cope with uncertain times like these?
Yeah, I guess when you get the headlines and they're negative, then it's of course tempting. You want to have a look and say, well, what's happened to my account? That's only human. But it's really not very helpful. So if you can resist the urge, and I think generally what people find is that it's almost a bit of a detox, you know. When they initially start an investment, they check it quite frequently, and then they check it less and less often, and you get into the habit of, oh, before I know it, I haven't looked at it for the last 6 months or 12 months. And realistically, for most people, that's totally fine. That checking it doesn't really achieve anything in particular. So, yeah, if you can manage it, I appreciate the temptation, but checking your balance less often would be a good start anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, unless, of course, you're sort of relying on some of that value, and we are getting in your retirement, for example, and we are getting a few questions to this effect. If you have a question for our panel today, Paul Benson, Principal at Guidance Financial Services, and Dr. Xiaolu Hu, Senior Lecturer in Finance at RMIT. Someone here texts, are Australian or international shares more likely to decline? Xiaolu, what's the what about this question here?
I think due to deglobalization episode happening in the past several years, international stock used to be a quite good performance stock. For example, in during the COVID 2020-2021, we see Asian stock increase quite a lot, but it decreased recently as well, dumped even faster than the developed countries. So I would like to say, from my observation, Australia actually have a quite resilient and healthy financial system. We have a quite a restrictive regulation in terms of using leverage, as well as those derivatives, very complicated products. So from the global perspective, Australian should be a quite safe market. Even though it's experiencing downturn, you can see the volatility of Australian market is not that much compared to US market or Asian market, Hong Kong or Chinese market. So I would like to say that's my view regarding Australian market. I actually still have quite confidence in Australian markets. We have a quite, well-designed...
Oh, Xiaolu, your line is just breaking in a little, in and out a little line. Bit. Would you be able to just repeat
that
point?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Would you be able to repeat that point about the more stability in the Australian market?
Yeah, I think the Australian market is quite safer and have a high resilience buffer in terms of taking the downturn. That's what I observed during, the 2008-2009 GFC, as well as during the COVID-19 episode.
Getting to more of your questions, Yvonne in Sydney asks, how do I protect my savings? Interest rates are likely to increase. Should I lock in term deposits for 1 to 3 years? Paul, what would you say to Yvonne? And again, just complete disclaimer that this is very general financial advice and you should definitely seek out individual advice for your own specific situation. But broadly speaking, Paul, what would you suggest?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Yvonne's in a great position. If you've got savings now, the fact that interest rates are on the rise is, of course, to your benefit. So, we spoke earlier about people being concerned, and I'm sure retirees would be definitely in that bucket. But retirees with savings are actually beneficiaries of the higher interest rates. As to locking in for 2 or 3 years, I mean, that's fairly bold. Most of our clients are more doing 6 and 12 months. We know that. Well, as your headlines have indicated, probably rates creep up a little bit more today and the expectation is that there's a little bit further to go on that front. So, locking in very long term, but it could well be as part of your overall strategy that you have a portion of your money set up with long-term fixed rates, but certainly 6 and 12 months is the more common terms that we're seeing people grab.
Yeah, a good time for that. We have a question from a young person who's not very familiar with the stock market investing in general. So really echoing me here. I recently started working full time and I want to know how to best make my small amount of savings work for me. What do you look for when looking at where and how much to invest? Paul, tips for first timers, and actually is now kind of a good time to get into share investing?
It is, Nat. I would, if you've got that long-term time horizon, it could be a fantastic time to progressively build on your investments. No one knows, what's going to unfold over the next few months. Short-term's very unpredictable, but we know that long-term, the outcome's likely to be very, solid. So, it could be a good time to invest. I guess for your young investor, first and foremost, make sure you've got a bit of a cash buffer there so that, if something unexpected happens, you're not having to hit the credit card. But assuming that you've got that ticked off and that we're talking about, surplus beyond that, then there's lots of good apps and things that allow you to get started with relatively small amounts of money, which can be a good way to go and just get a bit of a feel, get used to the ups and downs with not too larger amounts of money, get that experience up, and then increase your exposure over time. That's how I'd suggest you approach it.
Certainly, those micro investing apps and other sorts of things have made it really quite accessible and easy to choose what kind of portfolio or risk you want to take as well. But in a related question from Liz from Geelong, Liz says, I'm close to retirement. Is half of my retirement in balanced growth and half in ethical investment a good idea? As someone who's very interested in ethical investment as well, Xiaolu, is that a really safe place to put your money right now?
I think that's actually a good portfolio because the balanced portfolio give you an opportunity to experience ups and downs as well as a safer like protection from the bond in the long term. And the ethical portfolio is quite on the trend right now. People are caring about the ESG and the green finance more and more, and we see outperformance of ESG funds. So I think in the long term that should be a quite good investment and a safe one as well.
Rosemary, go, Paul.
Nat, I was just going to add to that too. The investor there, the ethical portfolios, they have underperformed the last 12 months because They don't tend to hold oil and gas and even more broadly resources type exposure, and they've been the best performers of the last 12 months. So they might see some pretty ordinary numbers on the ethical for the last 12 months, but it has been the case that those funds have had really good long-term performance, and I suspect that will continue. I mean, particularly the oil and gas issue, you know, that's out of Ukraine and Russia and these sort of things, which will presumably resolve themselves in time. So yeah, don't be too concerned if that ethical fund is a bit disappointing for this particular 12-month period.
Yeah, absolutely. It's long-term, long-goal sorts of looking. You are hearing from Paul Benson, getting some very general financial advice from the principal at Guidance Financial Services, and Dr. Jalu Hu is with me, Senior Lecturer in Finance at RMIT University. I'm Nat Tencic with you on Life Matters. Now, Rosemary has a question that I think is very important, because not everybody, not all Australians have shares necessarily that they have gone and bought themselves and are actively investing. But a lot of us are involved in the market because of our superannuation. She's 64. She said, should I wait until things improve before I retire and draw on my super? Xiaolu, what should Rosemary do here?
I think the superannuation, again, in the long term, should perform really good. But if possible, I also suggest individual investors check the balance or check the holding of the their superannuation, because normally 80% or 70% of Australian people don't check what their superannuation hold in their portfolio. So they just go to the default and quite hesitate to change the portfolio.
Carol asks in a similar sort of question as well. She has a significant sum left over from moving house. At 58, would it be wisest to put this into my super rather than keeping it in the bank, as my super balance is not high and retirement age is looming? Xiaolu, given the state of the market right now, is that a good idea?
I think potentially that should be, you know, professional advice from the professional financial planners. But my idea is that depends on your investment goal. It's also a fairly good enough idea to still hold some cash, some proportional cash on hand, to look around waiting for the market to, you know, rebound, or have a look at how the market will go and how the policy is going to change in a short period of time. But still put something with the fund. For example, I think super fund or any other diversified mutual fund, ETFs, could be a good suggestion, because they can provide you a stable dividends, even though they could experience a short-term capital loss.
Paul, one of the aspects of the market that may or may not be affected by what's happening right now is cryptocurrency. Lots of investors have been moving into this field. Is it sort of a buffered from what's happening in global markets right now?
Yeah, thanks for giving me the easy one there, Nat.
Explain crypto for us in 2 minutes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I wish I could. Look, no, don't profess to be any sort of expert on crypto, but certainly, you know, several of our clients have a little bit of exposure, as do I. Most people, it's just a bit of a dabble, a bit of a punt. It has been the case that crypto assets have gone down a lot in value. There's still not a lot of evidence that there's sort of real-world use cases for these things, but maybe they'll evolve in time. So, you know, they're speculative assets. Most people that bought some didn't bet their house on it, knew that it was speculative. At the moment, yeah, they're worth about half what they were last year, depending on which one you look at. Will they come back? I've got absolutely no idea.
Well, we will take some of your final advice that is very general for people who are worried about their investments, looking at all this looming. What should we do?
Look, I think just keep your long-term goals in mind. Why are you investing? You know, if you're a retiree, it's about generating income. Likely you've got some cash holdings there that'll do the trick. Dividends are still very good. You don't have to sell your investments. Again, just keep in mind, if you do look at your balance online or something, it's only telling you what it's worth if you sold. As long as you don't sell, it's fine. So just keep to your goals, and yeah, speak to your advisor if you need a bit of reassurance.
Stay strong, hold out. Paul Benson, Principal at Guidance Financial Services, and Dr. Xiaolu Hu, Senior Lecturer in Finance at the School of Economics, Finance and Marketing at RMIT. Thank you to you both.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.